So my name is Breda Joy, and I grew up a stone's throw from here in the narrowest street in Killarney. It was known then as Hen Street, and it's now Plunkett Street. I've settled here now for quite a long time in what people call the graveyard of ambition. My sounds in the morning were the rasp of street sweeper's brush and also the butcher's cleaver on the block across the road in Fleming's Butchers. In the mornings, especially in the summertime, I would hear the sound of the horse's hooves on Lewis Road going down, and that to me is a very much part of the sound of Killarney. Then 7:45, I hear the Friary bells. If I'm awake quite early in the morning, especially at this time of the year, the crows are a huge part of Killarney, because there's a big rookery just behind the Jarvie Rank, and at the moment the trees are just greening and they're screening the nests, but the crows are up there on sentry duty by their nests, and they're all cawing to each other, and I like to imagine that they're comparing their broods if they're coming out or that. So the crows all mass on the rooftops, and you see the tourists with their heads craned up, and when they cover the sky then they're like a black sea, and they make their, you know, they're cawing then as they fly. So that's a really characteristic sound of Killarney. I had given up doing the river walk there opposite the cathedral till a friend told me about how she loves to walk there on her own and just listen to it. And there is a great music in that river down there. When I was very young, my father was a Jarvie for a good few years. My father's name is Brendan Joy. He used to have his horse and his wagon down at Kenmare Place, which we call the block. That's, you know, you'd say he's down the block. Of all those times, I remember best a horse he had for many years called Dolly. She was a black mare with a white star on her forehead, but she had great intelligence. And if he was away somewhere at the other side of the road or something, and if he came back, he had a very distinctive cough. And if he coughed from the distance, Dolly would prick up her ears and she'd whicker, you know, that whicker of recognition that horses have. My childhood was very much wound up around horses, really, and jaunting cars, and that's why I have such a big affection for them to this day. And I think that they're a great asset in a world that's got faster and motorised and automated.
Hi, this is Aidan O'Mahony, a former Kerry footballer, and I'm talking about the sounds. I suppose the biggest sounds I'd have heard in game would be All-Ireland final day, running out under the tunnel, under the Hogan stand. That noise would put hair in the back of your neck. Kerry Cork games, once the final, whether in Páirc Uí Chaoimh or Killarney, that roar of the crowd is something special. It's something that's part of the GAA, and it's something very special as well. It's unique because running out there in a jersey, you're representing your club, you're representing your schools, your families, your communities, and it's like that sound represents that, all that community.
Tom O'Sullivan, Tom, has he still the legs? He has indeed. Gives it to his fellow Garda, Aidan O'Mahony, inside for Kieran Donaghy. Will we have a winner? Donaghy gives it outside to Brian Sheehan. Brian Sheehan outside to Mike Frank, Kerry holding possession. Kieran Donaghy. Kieran Donaghy has done it! What a kick by Kieran Donaghy!
Obviously, a game, I suppose, for me in Croke Park, in Ireland finals, we'll always speak about that. You'll never hear anything on the pitch. I think it's because of the players' focus, maybe the clash of shoulders and stuff, the kick of the ball. We always say you'll hear the leather, a good kick. You'll always hear the leather rattling off the laces. It's simple sounds like that. I suppose the difference between winning and losing, I'm always saying the Tuesday morning after an All-Ireland final, you sit at your breakfast table at home, and it's probably the loneliest sound you'll ever hear, because there is no sound, your phone doesn't ring, you're probably just with your family on your own, and it's a lonesome sound, that's what I call it, because there's no one ringing you after an All-Ireland, after losing it. It's a sound we don't want to hear too often, but I've been there and I've heard it. Then the opposite, like, is that sound of winning All-Ireland final, coming into, I suppose, Rathmore would be the first stop, and it's my own local club, and it's similar to, I suppose, Killarney. You've 25,000-30,000 people greeting you.
Fullback yesterday, he was a man of the match in a previous All-Ireland. He came damn close to winning it yesterday from the Rathmore club, and an unbelievable performance from Aidan O'Mahony.
I think it's a thing of the GAA where every coach is positive and every manager is positive, and that comes through the sound of their voice. And I know it's something I've learned myself, even here training. If things aren't going well for you, that sound you have to give to the players that they need to hear has to be a positive sound. We were speaking about sounds here tonight. Like, the sounds I have there are 20 lads, running around the pitch, and you hear the trampling of their feet, and they're all going the one direction to win something. And that's, I suppose, the sound of lifting a cup in August or September, it's all good.
One of the most unexpected wings, as the cup is being handed over to Croke man for the first time since 1914.
Here we go! As Kieran O'Leary and Fionn Fitzgerald lift the Sam Maguire Cup, and Kerry are back as champions for the 37th time in their history.
And who can beat the Kingdom Swede for horse, or hound, or man? And you head on to that football.
Falter Roy Gushana Hill anyway, Ruch May, Mr. Brown Dawn. I'm Brendan Moriarty from Ballinlochy originally. It's a right mountainy place anyway. There's plenty of stones and rocks, and there's a little stream and a little river running down by the just outside the house, really across the road. There's a nice valley up above me called Cowmalochy, If you get up in the morning, then you hear all the birds. The sounds of the birds are, so it's like a little oasis here, for the birds. They seem to make a beeline for this place, down the road then there's a place called Brendan Creek, and that's right beside the sea, like, so your man St. Brendan is supposed to have sailed to Newfoundland from there, like. But I love being down there because it's a nice little creek, like, you know, and the sound of the sea coming in there on a rough day, like, it's amazing, and the waves crashing and the, you know, just the whole spray coming up over the cliffs and the mouth of the pier, like, there's a little kind of a cave going in, and when the water comes in there, you hear the, it's like a big crash and a big surge, like, you know. Actually, it's called Pound My Babies, and I thought I was found there, like, but that's what my mother and my father used to say. That's where you were got, like, when you were small, you know, as a baby, you know, so I was I was very innocent penny, like, you know, so I thought, you know, Jesus, I'd be down there looking around to see if I see anything, like, you know, but the sound of the sea, you know, on a rough day there, like, it's amazing, like. I grew up on a farm, you see, and on a farm, like, doing bits of everything, growing potatoes, growing mangoes, turnips for the cows and all that, like. So I got used to that, doing all that when I was small and young, like, and then as I grew up, like, you know, you kind of have to make your own work, like, you know, so I decided I'd try and do a bit of stone wall, dry stone wall building, like. From then on, like, I started getting a love for it, really, like. So then, a couple of years ago, then I decided I'd pass on my skills to people, like, and people to learn stuff about stone walls and stone, you know. So I did a few courses, like, for people to come along, and they actually gave me a few pounds as well, you know, which was even better, you know. and all you need, really, like, which is the best thing about it, a chisel and a hammer, like a lump hammer to break the stones, like. And as you're breaking the stones, then you can you have to face them, like. So you'd be breaking them like this, and that's putting the face on it. Then you're the hammer, like, you know. And it's actually, you know, when you start doing it, like, you kind of get into it after a while, and it's like therapeutic, really, nearly, like the sound of the hammer just tapping away, like, you're to face the stone, you know. And then if you have an awkward stone, then if you want to do something with it, you'll have to hit it with a chisel. So you have a different noise. You know, it's a different sound, like. It's like steel on steel, you know. You'll be walking away there, like, and it grows on you, and then you get a love for it, like. And then you'll be walking away and you see a stone and you think, Jesus, it fits in there, and it fits in there, you know, and it just comes easy, like, it's like a jigsaw. The sheep bleeping there and the lambs running around, and good healthy life to be living around here in Kerry, and all the sounds of the birds and the, you know, the night, like. It's a great county to be living in, like.
My name is Bridget O'Connor. I live on a hill sheep farm in Camp, in Glaunagalt, in Camp, in the Dingle Peninsula. And I do B&B accommodation as well.
Okay, girls.
I'll start the bike and start driving down. You might get mad from, you know, they might start running after me and mad.
I light the fire every evening for the visitors, for the tourists, because they really like to see a fire. And even though it's not very cold, they are very interested in the peat and the turf and to hear the history of what we do in Ireland. How we cut the turf in May, and the men go to the bog, they cut the turf with a shlón. In many of the places where people come from nowadays, America and other countries, they don't have a fire anymore. And they have never seen a fire in their houses because they're not allowed to burn anything, you know, it's to do with the environment, I suppose. I really believe that the B&B owner or provider, the accommodation provider, has a big say in what a tourist will do when they're on holiday in the locality. I love the hustle and bustle of my guests coming. When I'm getting ready for my guests, the first thing I do is I welcome them, but I would make a loaf of banana bread then for breakfast for the following morning. And I would ask them if they would like some of the home eggs, and usually they do. This is Dash. Dash is the one with the high red cone, and then the other one is Daisy and Dot. So Dash, Dot and Daisy. And they're having a row about a piece of banana bread now. They like the banana bread, it's very tasty. Okay guys, we have more. There's more from where that came from. So okay girls, I'm going to get your eggs. Okay. There's two eggs waiting. Third didn't lay yet. And they're very happy creatures. I mean, they come back here in the evening when it gets dark, and they just stand outside here, and they won't go in until such time as it's nearly dark almost. Kerry is the kingdom. This is the animal kingdom, the sound of Kerry.
Hi, my name's Tim Aslett. I'm with Ballyhigan Shore Rescue Service over 10 years now. I'm the helm here and training officer and the chairperson. Okay, if we get a call out, then generally the message will come through. It'll tell us to report to the base. Once we arrive on scene, then it's a rush to make sure the boat is ready to go to sea, to equip ourselves in all of our personal protective equipment.
Okay guys, call out is there are two youths in the water down by the beach, being taken out by a bit of a rip. There's a lifeguard going on scene. Estimated three POVs.
And find out exactly what the call out is. Once we have all the information and all the crew members are checked to be safe to go, then it's straight into the water. We look to be in the water within 10 minutes of a call. Sometimes this is possible, sometimes it isn't. But to have a full crew here with the boat within 4 or 5 minutes is ideal. The boat should always be ready for the water. Once you're in the water, the Coast Guard will be notified to tell them that we are in the water, we're underway, and exactly what our ETA is to whatever the situation might be it a casualty in the water, a boat in distress, or simply something that somebody might have seen but they're not sure. We're always happy to check it out and be there no matter what. You see, when you're in the boat, really all you can hear is the engine. And the voices of your crew. The engine being so loud that the voices of the crew have to be very loud, so they have to shout every command towards you.
Clear! Mind your swell! Mind your swell! Engine on gear!
You get a lot of splash coming in at you, so talking can be hard if you're in very rough waters. Everything's very vocal out there. Everything you say to somebody has to be heard by everybody else, so everybody knows exactly what you're doing. So the engine will always be very loud, but it can be louder than when you're under pressure. Obviously, she's going flat out then. Certain procedures that we're doing may entail having to run at a higher speed or a lower speed, and you're up and down with the engine revs according to how the water is about to hit you, so it doesn't top you over, and so that you can power straight on out through it to get to a casualty.
Casualty on board!
Engine in gear, we're underway!
Perfect! Is casualty secure?
Casualty secure, life jacket on.
Okay, radio through to Shannon, please, and we're going back to base.